Welcome to the PMPA's Speaking of Precision podcast, featuring your hosts, Carly Kistler-Miller, David Wynn, and Miles Free.
Hi, I'm Carly Kistler-Miller, and welcome to PMPA's Speaking of Precision podcast. Miles Free and David Wynn have joined me today, and we're going to discuss, do you have a plan or a wish? We're going to be talking about strategic planning. Welcome, Miles. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Carly.
Thank you, Carly. It's good to be here. Talking strategy.
Strategy. So he's saying that because if you listen to our podcast on behavior profiles, his was pretty strong in strategy. He's feeling pretty good about this, right, Dave?
Yeah, I might have something to say in this one.
Okay. Well, considering you and Miles is matched, I have a feeling both of you will have a few things to say about that.
Joe, have That's fun perfect. Editing this one.
So, I titled this, Do You Have a Plan or a Wish? Because that's one of my favorite expressions from a French person whose name I can't say, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Sorry, apologies to my French teacher in high school. But he said, a goal without a plan is just a wish. So, you know, you can want something, but if you don't have a plan to get that something, you're just wishing for it and hoping that genie will show up and make it happen. And since I haven't seen a whole lot of genies in the shops lately, I'm thinking we're going to have to make a strategic plan. So you've both been part of strategic planning before. What do you think of strategic planning?
I think without a strategic plan, you get exactly what you feared, which is not what you wished.
This is true. It's the difference between dreaming and doing, right? So
Absolutely.
You can sit around and dream all day long, but if you don't put it down to make a plan, then you've got nothing.
Ooh, that might be my new favorite saying, the difference between dreaming and doing. I like it.
There you go.
So I have a two-part article in Production Machining magazine where I kind of spelled out just a broad strokes, because strategic planning could take 3 days. I mean, it is a big, big process. But just kind of do an overview to give everybody an idea of what they should be thinking about. And when you create a strategic plan, there's kind of the bones of it. So you need the goals, you need the strategy, you need the tactics, you need deadlines, and you need owners. And the goals, those are pretty obvious. Think of that as the destination of where we want to go. And then the strategy, that's how you're going to reach that goal, kind of like a map. If you're thinking of, you know, getting somewhere, you need that map. Well, I don't know.
It may be a vehicle, too.
Do people still use maps that aren't GPS? Either way, it shows you how to get there. And then there's tactics. So those are the action steps. And the deadlines are pretty obvious. And then the owners are, it can be very, very confusing because there is an owner of the shop, there is an owner of the strategic plan, and there's an owner of each tactic. So when we're talking about owners here, we're talking about either the plan owner or the tactic owner.
I think it's important when we start off with this discussion, Carly, that owner means they have both responsibility and authority to do whatever it is that they're tasked or accept or assigned in this plan. So just saying so-and-so owns this, if they have neither the responsibility nor the authority, they're not an owner, they're a scapegoat.
Oh, that, it's an excellent point because, yeah, you don't want to ask the person who answers the phones to come up with something that's going to require a large chunk of the budget. If they don't have the authority to make changes to the budget or request changes to the budget, then they can't be the owner. That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
it's interesting, too, that these bones, without any one of these, we do not have a strategic plan. We do not, in fact, have anything that works.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have deadlines, it's not going to happen. If you don't have owners, who's going to do it? I mean, each of these is necessary, but without any one of them, the whole process fails.
Yeah, so it's like the goal setting podcast that we did a little while back. You can't just write these things down and put it in a drawer. You have to check up on it. And if you're not looking at it, reviewing it, and checking in on those who have responsibility and authority, then it's never going to get done.
Yeah, and that speaks to the implementation part of the plan. So if we're going to create the plan, you don't want to create it in a vacuum. Right? It's not just you sitting in a room going, here are our goals, here's our strategies, here's the tactics, this is who's
going to
do
that's a dream. That's a dream.
Well, back to dreaming.
Or a hallucination.
We all kind of have autonomy and control issues, don't we? But
right. But I mean, literally, you're describing a dream. If you're just doing it yourself, there's no grounding to the other people in the organization. That's
right. And you can't possibly have the perspective they have or the level of expertise that they have in their certain area. I mean, you hired that person for a reason. And so you've got a finance person or a foreman or a machinist or quality, middle management, marketing, they all have different perspectives on what the business needs to run properly.
Yeah. And that's what all these culture guys are screaming about. It's breaking those silos down. You got to bring all those separate groups together to really come together and bring their particular piece of the knowledge with the organization together. And that way you can make an adequate strategic plan. Otherwise, you're missing, it's like Miles said earlier, you're missing pieces of the pie. You don't have a whole pie anymore.
Bones. We were doing bones, but I like to switch to pie.
So bones get a little grotesque.
The interesting thing to me is that this actually calls out to me about lean. And one of the most important aspects of lean is go to Gemba,
yeah.
Right? Go see it. Go see it. And that's exactly what's required with this in this stage of the strategic planning is to go get the local expert, right? Go get those people who have responsibility and authority and get their best contribution. And that will, I think, lead to their buy-in and their enthusiasm in terms of supporting the plan.
You know what's scary? So in our family shops and most of our shops in the PMPA, most people know what the Gemba looks like. They've been there. They've done things. I know somebody, a friend of mine, whose dad was a chief financial officer for a major corporation that everybody would know. He had no clue. He didn't even know what they did. And he was their chief financial officer. He had never seen it. He literally did not know one product they made. That is so disseparate from the Gemba. I knew more about their manufacturing because we make parts for them than he did.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah.
We'll not discuss that with after the podcast with the mics on.
Point. All right. So to create your strategic plan, you have to get the stakeholders, even a customer. If you have a customer whose opinion you trust, that they've got a different perspective on your business as well. So they would know what the service and the delivery and, you know, the quoting process, everything looks like. So get as many stakeholders as you can to be part of the strategic plan. That said, you don't want 30 people in the room because very hard to make a decision with 30 people in the room. So you really want to think through who's going to be able to give the most valuable feedback and would be able to have that ownership and that buy-in as well, like you were talking about, Miles, to create that. Now, the the plan itself looks a lot like a hierarchy tree. You have your goals, then underneath your goal you have your strategy, and then you have all your tactics. So the tactics are the how. How are we going to get this done? And all of these have to have deadlines. So you, but they have to have realistic deadlines.
Realistic?
I'm telling you, stay out of that dream world. They really need realistic deadlines. And a shout out to Henning Industrial Software, because Rich there really helped me out with figuring out, because I made one of the goals integrating a new ERP system. I don't know how to do that. So he helped me out. But to research and find a system, that's the first step. You can't ask somebody to do that in 2 weeks. Like, that's going to take a few months to truly do your research and try to find a new system. And then another tactic is going to be to find the money to in the budget to allocate for this system. So you probably have two different people working on that. The shop owner may be working on the tactic to try and find the system, whereas the financial person is looking at the budget going, okay, well, this is what we need to do, this is what we need to allocate, et cetera, et cetera. And in the meantime, you're going to need your IT person. Hopefully you have an IT person.
and your material control person.
That person to help you to figure this out. So the tactics get broken down with deadlines that are feasible, that are, you don't want to give them too much room, but you gotta give them time to get it done right. Otherwise, it's not even worth wasting their time.
Carly, I'd like to ask you about that. So in industrial engineering, we talk about doing things in series or in parallel. And when you first presented this, it was like it's a tree, it's this vertical thing. But as you said, you know, the top executive's looking to find money. This person's trying to, you know, kick tires on software vendors. These people are trying to figure out what the data looks like to get it to. So it sounds like it can be both serial in terms of serious, and you can't do this, can't execute the PO if you haven't found the vendor, right? But at the same time, we've got stuff going on in parallel.
That's a great point. I know I have a problem with visualization and our trees, but you're right. The actions themselves, those can happen in parallel. They could be shopping while the other's looking at the budget, while the IT is looking at the data to figure all of that out, which then brings us to the implementation and what Dave was talking about, that, you know, it shouldn't be something sitting on the shelf that's collecting dust. It has to be, you're always working on the strategic plan in one way or another.
I'd like to make another lean comment. Your shelf, you're doing shelves wrong if the shelf is collecting dust. There's supposed to be clutter on the shelf that's collecting the dust, not the shelf. My shelves are clean.
Your shelves.
The stuff on them, they may have some dust.
Your shelves are cluttered, but dust-free. Can we say that?
Yeah. We can say that.
Clean is a relative statement.
That's true.
Well, dust-free.
So my point is, it's not a doorstop. It's not something that you create and you set aside and you look at it in 3 years and go, oh, well, we didn't really do that. And oops, forgot to do that. It needs to be constantly revisited, constantly updated. How many had a strategic plan and then COVID came along?
Yeah.
I'll bet your goals changed. I'll bet your priorities changed. Suddenly, IT can't worry about a new system because they're too busy trying to get people the office people to work from home, or Yeah, I'm looking at you, Miles. Go for it.
Policies had to change. Oh, my goodness, right?
Yeah.
Well, you can't work at home. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Hello.
Yeah.
Zip, erase the screen.
Exactly. So the strategic plan is, I like to think of it as a living, breathing thing that is constantly evolving and needs to be revisited. So when you're talking about implementation, there's another phrase I like to use from Desmond Tutu, that there's only one way to eat an elephant, a bite at a time. And I do that all the time, especially like if I were to organize
bite
Miles'
elephants?
Office.
You bite elephants?
She loves biting elephants.
Give me a meow. Now, if I were to organize Miles' office, I would start in one little corner and focus on that little corner and slowly work my way through. Because if you stood in the middle of it and looked at it all and said, what am I going to do? You would be standing there for hours. So this is a bite at a time. This is going to take time. It is a marathon, not a sprint. How many more cliches can I throw out there? But I want to make sure that people know that you can have that goal, but to reach it, it is going to take little bits and a lot of different people, which is why it's so important that these tactic owners have true ownership, like Miles said, that they are able to say yes or look into this or even have the time to do it.
I think that's an important element of what you're talking about, is that all of these people have jobs that are not strategic planning, that you're pulling them in. And so when you're looking at time and looking at those elements, is that they have time that they dedicate to their job, and they have to find time and weave in the strategic planning. So that has to be taken into account when you're doing deadlines and everything else, the implementation of it.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. So you would need additional time if you're adding, say, a new ERP system. But if one of your strategic plans is to sell more machine time, then that's something you're already doing. But maybe you've broken down some tactics on different ways to do that to increase your time. Or the strategic plan, I think of strategic plan as like my giant to-do list. Like if I'm doing something, it better be part of the strategic plan and moving us forward. Otherwise, I'm just moving without advancement. But you're right. If it's something completely like you're bringing in a whole new system or a whole new machine or it's a big change, then yeah, you've got to find that time, that extra time outside of getting the rest of the stuff done to accomplish that.
And that's a challenge for a lot of managers, because they're you know, ruled by the tyranny of the urgent. We've got to get these parts out. We've got to get this truck unloaded. And we've got to get this. And it requires time, not just money thrown at it, mm-hmm. in order to make the kind of progress that we're trying to do in a well-conceived strategic plan.
Which is why the deadlines are so important, that they're figured correctly and that there's knowledge that there's room to wiggle. That, you know, okay, it didn't get done by the end of April, but it will be done by the end of May because something came up but that's the revisiting part of it as well.
You know, that's interesting, Carly. There's two words I've never, ever heard in all my years of strategic planning.
What?
And those two words are zero tolerance. If you have a zero tolerance mindset, get thee the heck off of this podcast and go back to shoveling or something, because strategic planning requires strategic thought, which requires critical thinking, which means there's got to be tolerance. There's got to be allowances. We're dealing with human beings here. We're dealing with customers. We're dealing with suppliers. There's
even the most critical medical parts in the world have tolerances.
Scary but true.
Wow, that's really good, David. That's really
Dave
good.
Dave gets a gold star for the day.
I'm telling you, I'm going to use that.
That is good. So we've got our owners. We've got our deadlines. Now we got to track it. So it can't live on one person's desk or on one person's computer on their desktop. It needs to be a document that everybody who has ownership of the strategic plan has access to. And there's a lot of different options. I've seen Excel sheets. I've seen Planner or Trello's another version of that. I know we use Achieve It, and there's probably other strategic planning specific software out there. But no matter what, I don't even care if it's a piece of paper up on a bulletin board that everyone has access to and they can all see the deadlines and the status and such. But then it has to be revisited. You could set a time quarterly, whatever, to see where the update is, to see where the status is. And that responsibility is on the plan owner.
You know, I'm not exactly sure if this is precisely strategic plan, but I remember taking you to SEPCO Erie when you first started, mm-hmm. and they had that machine in the back, and they had a whiteboard beside it, and they were working on reducing cycle time.
I remember.
And
everybody had
the ability to write. I did this. We moved this. Moved to call it rack, did that, whatever it was. And they showed that progress on that whiteboard. And I mean, even a whiteboard, I mean, it was visual. It was at the works. I mean,
yeah.
it was perfect.
Power,
you know, no electrons. No electrons were squeezed through a wire to make this happen.
You know, the power of the whiteboard is accessible to everyone. Anyone can edit or add to that whiteboard information. Anybody that knows how to write, that's all you got to do. You don't even have to write. You can draw pictures. But anybody, it's totally accessible.
Oh, boy. So MBAs can do it.
No, you're right. It's all about communication. People need access to it. People need to be able to update it. So I love that you brought that up. The whiteboard is it as well. But the important thing is it has to be revisited and it has to be updated. And it can't just be a one-way communication either. So it has to be two-way. It's got to be, we did this, we did this, we did this. We couldn't get to this. And somebody coming back and saying, okay, well, how long is it going to take to get to this? Or it needs to be a conversation, not etched in stone.
You know, you make a very good point, Carly. One of the things that really aggravated me back when we had TV was updates on the fives, updates on the eights, this on the sevens. I just look out the window, right? I don't need an update on the five. And I think too many of our teams get hung up in a culture of, you know, make the report and get the cookie, right? Mm-hmm. Get the gold star. And they don't do the work as much as they do the reporting.
Right. That, you know what? I'm so glad you brought that up, because the deadlines for updating shouldn't overwhelm. You know, I have a marketing plan. It's the same for most part. It's the same thing every month. So do I need to update that every month? No. If quarterly, and if we added something, if we changed something, etc., you can find that out every month. But yeah, you do, the updating should not take more time than or take away from the time to get the actual task done.
It should be a rhythm. It should be a tack time, not a sewing machine, right?
Well, and it can depend on the tactic, right? So it could be that the marketing plan is every quarter, but monthly is the selling of machine time, because that, you know, you can grow
that's when you balance it out, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
what did
right,
I
right.
have?
So you have to look at all of it to make sure that there's a good balance, that it's feasible, that it's communicated, and that people have a chance to get it to work the strategic plan. And that wraps up today's podcast on strategic planning. Thank you for joining us.
For additional information, please visit pmpa.org, where you can find our knowledge centers filled with articles, webinars, more podcasts, and other resources for precision machining.
Yes, and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast so you won't miss one. Plus, check out our Speaking of Suppliers podcast, where we talk to PMPA technical members and learn how they can help our shops.
And if you aren't already taking advantage of a PMPA membership, be sure to check out pmpa.org and learn how we can help you thrive. And why is a PMPA membership important, Miles and Dave?
Because we are better together.
Don't forget to join us next Monday on Speaking of Precision.